On the Bookshelf with your host, Dave Doc Kirby.
Welcome to a new year and a new decade for On the Bookshelf. I'm your host, Dave Doc Kirby. We've been doing this show since 1991. Delighted to be starting our third decade with you. Today, something a little out of the ordinary. Every week we talk about books. Most of the time we talk about one book. Last weekend we talked about four books. Today we talk about one song. The one song has to do with adult autism. The name of it is One Good Reason. It's performed by the Gumbo Square Band. The music composed by Amy Zahedi and Serge Grad. Words are written by Amy Zahedi, Serge Grad, and my friend Maria Spate, who now lives in Dothan. She is a retired professional singer who toured for over 20 years in Europe, particularly in Scotland, and along the way she had the opportunity to meet Jeff Britton, an English rock drummer now living in Spain, who's known for his work with Paul McCartney and Wings, August 1974 to January 1975. He was featured on the Venus and Mars album and played in lots of bands since then, including the return in June of last year to Cookeville, Tennessee for the 45th anniversary of Junior's Farm, where an album was developed and rehearsed as a member of Paul McCartney and Wings. And of course, Jeff played drums on One Good Reason. So we're going to talk to Jeff. We're going to talk to Maria, who I've had the privilege of knowing for a couple of years now. She is the lead female vocalist, and I am one of the trumpet players in the Moonlighters dance band in Dothan, Alabama. That's how we came to be acquainted and become friends, and that's the glue that connected all of us together. So first of all, let's take time to talk to master drummer Jeff Britton. We're talking to Jeffrey Britton. He is a musician of great renown. We are fortunate in that we have a mutual friend, Maria Spate, and she is involved with Jeff in an organization called the Gumbo Square Band. The relationship that they have as professional musicians together goes back a number of years.
That is absolutely correct.
A great privilege.
It's great to help Maria. She's back in a very worthy cause, so if I can help in a little way, I'm happy to do so.
Awesome. Has she sung with bands that you have fronted, or have you guys worked together through the years?
Yes. The truth of the matter is Maria is a great jazz singer, and she was really too good for the area that she was working in here. She was just too stylish, and basically she needed to be singing in a big city and a bit more jazz or in 80 crowd. I mean, don't get me wrong, they loved her, but she was just a cut above the average jazz player that was here at that time.
You guys not only performed together and are friends and involved in the Gumbo Square Band together, but you've also just recently got involved in a really interesting and unique opportunity. Tell us a little bit about the Gumbo Square Band. Looking at the website, listening to the testimonials and stuff, it strikes me as a very unique organization that it's kind of a multinational conglomerate of all sorts of professional musicians with all sorts of interests, all kinds of skills, and you guys get together in various configurations to perform, to record, and to work on all sorts of social projects, right?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, the makeup of the band is extremely versatile and you know, far-reaching in terms of the nationalities. I've only just recently become involved and on the periphery, but with this special concern that Maria has for helping autism and making awareness of it. And so I'm on the periphery in terms of the Gumbo Square, but I'm right there involved in helping with the making of this record that's projecting the aspect of helping to spread awareness of autism.
And in particular, this is autism, adult autism. There is a fair amount known about helping children and younger kids that have autism, but we don't think about the fact that if you have autism when you're young, you're going to have autism as you grow up too. And the track that you guys worked on is a new song called One Good Reason.
Yes.
Now, how did you get involved? Was this a Gumbo Square project, or were these friends that you made and colleagues that you met through Gumbo Square? Or how did you get involved in the making of this record?
it's all down to Maria. She's been the catalyst and the creator of my involvement entirely. She lived here in Spain, and she, as I said, she was a great jazz singer, and she was really too good for where she was living. She was worthy of a nice big city and an appreciative audience of real pure jazz lovers. And then we met up again in London, actually singing. I happened to be visiting London, and she happened to be visiting London, and she got up to sing, and we'd spoken in the audience, and so I got up to play with her there. And then our lives drifted in different directions, and we met up again when I was in Cooksville, Tennessee, in June of this year. Ah. And that's when Maria and I got together, chatted. She came to a gig that I was doing, and it progressed from there. She asked me if I'd be interested. My mechanic, who's had to go back to England, his son suffers from autism, and as you're right, it's a lifelong, how will we call it?
A situation or a challenge.
Affliction.
Yeah. The syndrome.
So the syndrome, that's the better word. There's not the support system for him here, so he's had to, you know, pack up sticks, and him and his good wife and the son, have gone back to England because there's a great social support, because he was working all day, and she was staying at home looking after the boy. Mm-hmm. He'd come home from work, and she's tired. She had to keep eyes on him all the time, and then he'd have to take over to give her some rest, which meant he wasn't getting any rest, and basically, it was wearing the two of them right down.
Right.
And back in England, they got family and friends, and the whole social system in England was much more cooperative and aware of that kind of help. And that's what Maria's trying to do, to get that out there, that it's a lifelong thing. There's the isolation that people suffering from that syndrome have. They go through bullying at school, they get stressed within the family, they have problem with employment. So it's a lifelong syndrome.
The situation that arose that gave Maria and Jeff a chance to connect in Nashville over the summer, for our listeners, is the 45th Junior's Farm anniversary. And this is something Maria mentioned to you before we started. I have a fellow musician. I've played in a big band, and we travel internationally. She's from Nashville. She's a trumpet player, as I am. And her husband was interested in doing a documentary about the Junior's Farm recording, and met the son of the man of Junior. And he and I have been talking about the possibility of writing and producing a radio documentary about it. And so when I saw that you guys had this connection too, I thought, this is very interesting, this serendipitous circle that's tying us together. And the song that you've mentioned, One Good Reason, is going to be played on WTBF, and we're going to let folks hear it in just a couple of minutes. And is there anything that I know this is, when we're talking to you, it's in the late afternoon, and it's late at night in Spain, and I appreciate you staying up to visit with us. Is there anything in particular about the record, One Good Reason, that, other than the lyrical content, of course, that in particular makes you glad that you were involved with the project?
Well, I'm glad to be part of the project, because it's a very worthy cause, and that in itself gives it merit and authenticity. The question of music, it's a broad church, and one person's opinion is different from somebody else's. But I thought the lady who put the vocal on did a great job. I was surprised when I heard it for the first time when it was sent back to me. I'd put a lot of drums at the very end of it. It was like a kind of a freeform thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the studio engineer really got off on that. So I was kind of expecting to hear that. But the record was quite long anyway, and it was far too long for it to be able to use that part. So, no, it's, you know, when anything's of real value and, you know, it needs to be done, then I don't think anybody minds putting their shoulder to the wheel and just doing their bit to, you know, help it to push it along, as it were.
Well, Jeff Britton, thank you so much for visiting with us. For our listeners, I want to let you know once again that he was with Paul McCartney and Wings from August of 74 to January of 75, featured on the Venus and Mars album, then was a member of Manfred Mann's Earth Band from 78 to 79, played on the Angel Station album, and in 77, he was in the supergroup Rough Diamond, and in the early 80s joined the power pop group The Keys. And you've been a busy fella, sir. I've played you on the radio for years, and now I'm getting a chance to talk to you. I think that is very exciting for me.
Let me ask you a couple of things. You play trumpet in a big band. What style of music do you play?
Oh, it's a jazz band. Yeah.
But jazz from what era? What genre?
Oh, well, we do play the standards from the 1940s, but we also play newer versions, Big Fat Band and Denver and the Mile High Orchestra and that style music as well. So we play newer tunes, and we also play some, it's a Christian jazz band, so we play Christian hymns and stuff, but in Latin beats and stuff like that. Yeah, so we Camp Kirkland is our musical director, and he's done some of our charts and other arranger friends of ours from various places around the U.S. Have done arrangements for us. So we carry about 40 tunes or so in the book, and it just depends on where we're going to travel. A lot of times, if we're going to be in South Africa, say, we'll do tunes that are going to be indigenous melodies and stuff that people will recognize.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Now, when I was in Nashville this June, there's a chappie there that's putting a documentary together, and he brought the session guys down as part of this documentary that he was filming. We were in the studio, the main studio there, with Gene Vincent, the Cup, Bebop Alula, and all that stuff. So real great for me, personal history, because I like... I like everything, but I certainly like the 50s rock and roll. And so he brought the guys down, the steel player, Lloyd Green, who said he'd had 101 country hits. Can you imagine that? Number one.
Wow.
In his career. Anyway, the guys that played on Paul's father's composition, Walking in the Park with Eloise, there was a trombone player, and he had played in the Buddy Rich Big Band.
Wow.
Now, can you imagine that for his credit? I mean, now here he is, or he was, the retired, but his later career was a top session man in Nashville.
I imagine.
He started out in the Buddy Rich Big Band. I mean, now for me, I'm a real big band fan. Buddy Rich, Count Basie,
yeah.
I count them as really two of the great bands.
Right.
And I mean,
right.
Obviously the Duke and Woody Herman, and they're all in there, but if I could only listen to two, it would be Basie when he had, probably the mid-50s to the mid-60s, and, Buddy Rich just about any time, because it's
right.
Buddy Rich.
Yeah.
So this trombone player, so all we wanted to talk about, you know, the poor old guy wanting to make the film, he wants to talk about Junior's Farm, and I want to talk about Buddy Rich, and he wants to talk about Buddy Rich. So it was just wonderful.
That's
yeah,
neat.
Great guy. So I'm a real, you're talking to a real big band fan here. So good on you for doing it.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I saw Basie at a little jazz club in Daytona Beach, Florida that had been converted from a Winn-Dixie. And so I was sitting as close to him as the width of a little grocery store back in the early 70s. And I had a chance to talk to him afterwards, and he was so gracious and so nice. And what an incredible band. Oh,
was that Butch Miles on drums in the 70s?
Yes. Yes. Oh.
Yeah, Butch. Yeah, great drummer. Well, he was kind of a bit of a Buddy Rich clone. I mean, he said that. I met him here in Spain. They brought the Buddy Rich big band over, post Buddy, and No, sorry, they brought the Count Basie band over, sorry. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that, you know, how obviously you've only got to see him play to see that he modelled himself on Buddy Rich.
Right.
With his own footprint, but very much in that style. And he was just, yeah, he was just fabulous. Real
wow.
powerhouse.
Very cool.
Yeah, great band. They always said, even on a bad night, the Count Basie band swung.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. There's no band that had the kind of dynamic contrast and the ability to swing any kind of tune, any kind of arrangement like Basie.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, Freddie Green stuck in the middle of those that rhythm section. Mm-hmm. Just gave you that extra panache and width and depth of sound. Was Buddy never had a guitarist, and Duke didn't have a guitarist, and Woody Herman, but Count Basie with Freddie Green, mm-hmm. that kind of made him so special.
I'll never forget, they got softer and softer, and they got so soft that you could hear the pick strumming the acoustic guitar that he was playing. Basie looked around at the drummer, and the drummer looked at the lead trumpet player, who looked back at Basie, and they all kind of little imperceptible nod, and then on 1, 2, 3 they went bap, and just knocked me back against the wall.
Took the house, yeah.
Yeah, and then they're back to nothing again, and I thought, did I imagine that? Was that genuine? Man, what a group.
Yeah, you won't see the like of that again, unfortunately.
No, that's the truth.
But they were of it's like the Beatles and the Stones. They're of their time, and you just won't see it again.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Wow. Well, Jeff, thank you very much for taking time to talk.
No, you're more than welcome.
Really enjoyed it, and we'll play One Good Reason here coming up next, and thank you again.
Oh, that's great. And give all my very best to Maria. She's a great lady.
I sure will, and she sure is. Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you for your time.
All right, thank you for your time, Jeff.
Bye now. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. A nice guy.
Hey,
that was
nice
so
guy
fun.
I told you.
Yeah. Well, you want to talk a minute? All right, now my friend Maria Spate, who is the co-lyricist of the show. She is also the publicity manager for the Gumbo Square Band. You can check out their website, gumbosquareband.com, where you can also find that song as well as lots of others. Tell us how you got involved in this project. What was your motivation? And I know what it is, but I'm just going to ask you. I know the reason for this, but our listeners need to know, how did you get involved with this project and why?
Well, about 3 years ago, I was approached by a producer, songwriter, Serge Grad, who is actually the head of this. It's his vision. Asked if I would do a song, and I met him on LinkedIn, which is the social media thing.
Right.
And so I agreed, and we did it. And over time, I was at home taking care of my parents, and they were quite ill, and I was their care. And off and on, while I was caring for them, this kept my feet in the music. And I was able to do that because that's what I did in Spain and did in Britain and Scotland and mm-hmm. Some in England and such. But I wasn't able to do as much because my parents require so much care. So he was very patient. We got through it. And over time, I started talking about adult autism because of my nephew, Jimmy, who is an adult autistic. He is slowly becoming lower functioning. He cannot express his feelings easily. He has a lot of difficulty with his temper because mm-hmm. he can't express himself, but he's very intelligent and he's very fun and he has comedic sense of a genius. He knows how to use a one-liner, let's just say, and he's really good about that. But what people don't realize is that autistics grow up. They start as kids and they may seem really cute, but they're not cute. It's very difficult at times, but as they grow older, they run out of opportunities. Mm-hmm. Things shut down monetarily through governments or policies or whatever, and the family's hands are tied. The Gumbo Square Band, when he approached this situation with me, we started working on an already available song that had not quite been completed, and we just kind of tweaked the lyrics. Amy Zahidi, who is from Frankfurt, Germany, and she's a collaborator with Serge. Serge is originally from France, and he is now in Mexico, and they did the music and the lyrics, and I joined in with Jamie's feelings, And one good reason was the outcome. And it's such a strong song. We're really excited. But let me tell you briefly how we do things in Gumbo Square Band.
Okay.
Gumbo Square Band, we record a song. It starts in the studio, wherever it is in the world, because all our musicians from everywhere. They're from Germany, France, Cuba, America, Canada. They're from Mexico, Argentina. They're Brazil. I mean, all these different countries, and they record whatever they do. They send the WAV files to Serge. Serge edits them. Then more is added on if it needs to be. Mm-hmm. Then when it needs mixing, it goes to our mixing engineer. If it's not Pascal, who is the main one, one of the main ones, Pascal Mandon, who is in France, and he is with Les Miserables in the World Touring Company.
Wow.
And so he does it, and he's really been wonderful about that. And when he's not able, another guy who works in the Mannheim Pop University there, outside of Frankfurt, is Frank Itt, who is a German bassist. Amazing, amazing bassist. They sit down, they mix it, they master it, and they get it back to us. And not a penny has gone out for the production, to musicians, to songwriters. Even studios give their time.
Wow.
For all of this. And that's changing, sure, because people have to make a living. But the thing is that everybody donated this so the concentration could be on the issues that we need to do.
Right.
Yeah. So I will tell you briefly also about when Serge was in Vancouver, he came out onto a street that was really foggy. Mm-hmm. And he got to a place where the fog cleared, and what was in front of him was hundreds of faces of homeless people.
Mm.
And he did, and it just struck him, how can I help these people?
Yeah.
He went to Amy and said, what can we do? And so they started writing songs, and Lonely Hearts came out of it. And so that was the start. So we have three albums. They're in a series. The first one is Lonely Hearts, and it's Latin jazz, mostly, mix of Spanish and English. But it's a lot of jazz flavors, Cuban, and all kinds of stuff,
right,
all through it. That's first. And that's the first one that was recorded. The second one was How Does It Feel? It tends to be more techno-pop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really more interesting. The final one is Le Chemin de Damas, which is French for the road to Damascus.
Ah.
And it's not modern Damascus. It's the old Damascus where the Apostle Paul was walking, and he came to his calling on that road.
Right.
And a lot of times we don't follow our calling. We don't know how to reach out, or we just miss humanity altogether. And that's where he started his beginning to touch humanity again. But he did it differently, without persecution. And we're to do the same. We are to reach out to those in need. And that's the reason why it's called Le Chemin de Damas. So if people want to come, just hear what we've done, hear samples, see what we're about, even give ideas, whatever. There's a page. Go to www.gumbosquareband.com. And we're there. You'll see it with the moving maps.
Yes.
There are moving maps all over it. So anyway, that's it. Is there anything you wanted to ask?
I think you covered it all, Maria. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're very, very welcome. So, well, thanks for the opportunity to come here and to interview Jeff. I'm glad Jeff got on there. We're able to.
Me
Unfortunately,
too.
A 7-hour difference is a big time when you've got to go to bed.
Right.
And he usually goes to bed pretty soon. So anyway, but thanks again, Doc, so much for doing this. And we're hoping this really helps a lot of people that have autistics in their family to be encouraged. And this is a start that we can help hopefully make things better.
Thank you, Maria.
You're welcome.
Well, we've talked about the song. Now it's time to hear it. One Good Reason. Hiding
so much love that I can give to you. Can you even see that I'm alive? All I want is someone to rely on, someone who can feel and understand. Reaching out to show me one good reason, I can even take you by the hand, hand in hand.
Well, now you know the story behind the song. We wanted to particularly let you know about this song before April of this year, because April is Autism Awareness Month. So here's your chance to be the first person that you know to tell others about this wonderful new song called One Good Reason. And again, you can go to the website, gumbosquareband.com. Look for the song One Good Reason. Our thanks to Jeff Britton and to Maria Spate for joining us today on this brand new decade of On the Bookshelf. Next week, we'll have a regular book that we'll be talking about. As a matter of fact, we'll be talking to Deborah Hausman. She is a researcher who has written a new book about the anti-vaccination among infants movement in the United States. She's going to take a very subjective look at it. And so I invite you to join us for that. Until next time, I'm your host, Dave Doc Kirby. Thanks again for joining me for our third decade together. Until next week, God bless.